I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time to check in with the magazine mavens. Editors are some of our favorite magazines. We gather every month to talk about the stories in the pages of their latest editions. In May, they take on spirituality, the sometimes very high price of generosity, and of course, celebrity. Plus, we'll say goodbye to one maven who's stepping down for now. That also got us thinking about what it takes to run a magazine today, especially magazines that try to give voice to both the uniqueness and diversity of women of multicultural backgrounds. Here to talk about all of this are Suzanne Colone, Senior Articles Editor for O, the Oprah Magazine, Dawn Baskerville, Executive Editor of Essence Magazine, and Anitha Malik of East West Magazine. Welcome, mavens, all.
Hello.
Thank you.
Suzanne, if we could start, spirituality was a major focus of the magazine this month. What drew the editors to this topic?
It's just a big topic with us and with Oprah. You know, it's something that Oprah is, I think she said it was the thing that she was most excited about talking about doing new and innovative things. As many people know, she's chosen to do her book club this time as a webcast, chapter by chapter, with Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth. And that's a huge, huge thing. So since she's so excited about spirituality, and we are always thinking about spirituality, and we're getting the message from the readers that they are always thinking about it, it's an easy thing to do an entire issue devoted to it.
And you do an interview with the writer with whom she's doing her monthly web chat. So tell me his name again.
His name is Eckhart Tolle.
Well, the other thing that intrigued me, though, is that you have a whole package of interviews with people from a wide variety of backgrounds who talk about what defines spirituality for them. And what intrigued me about this is some of these are people you'd expect, you know, like the writer and Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel.
Yes.
But you also have people like Evan Handler,
yes,
you know, an actor of Sex and the City fame who survived leukemia as
yes,
a young man. And I'm just wondering, what drew you to all of these people? How did you know they had something important to say on a topic like this?
Because everybody has something important to say on this topic. If you grab the woman on the street or a child or an elderly person anywhere, famous, not famous, you will find that they have something very, very unique and resonant to say about the subject of spirituality. You know, yes, we did want to see what Elie Wiesel thinks, because we always, you know, who doesn't want to hear what he has to say? But there are also people like Elizabeth Streb, the choreographer. I don't know if you've ever seen her choreography. It is amazing and kind of deadly in a way. It's just like throwing herself around and asking her dancers to, you know, weave in between cinder blocks. Now, this is a person I want to know, what does she think about spirituality? It's really, there are a lot of surprises. We wanted to get artists. We got singers like Patti Smith and Tracy Chapman and Wintley Phipps, Joan Snyder, the artist, and Francesco Clemente. Everybody has something to say about spirituality, and the answers that we got were incredible.
I think there's a lesson there of going to the unexpected choice.
Yes.
And speaking of surprises, Dawn, you have boxer Leila Ali on the cover, and she has, a side to her that some people would find surprising.
Oh, definitely. A much more warm and nurturing side to herself. She's retired now, actually, at age 30, after having won all 26 of her professional fights. And we were happy to be able to feature her and her husband on the cover and share with the world their news that they're expecting their first child.
That kid is going to be so...
gorgeous.
Gorgeous. It's just sickening. Again, how did you know that she had this surprising side? Because she talks very much about, you know, home, family. I mean, here's a woman who really grew up in the spotlight in, mm-hmm, in some ways, having such a famous father, mm-hmm, who is still an iconographic figure. And her mother is a famous person.
Absolutely.
To hear
absolutely
her longing for a home and family of her own, I think was very moving.
Well, actually, we're coming to both her and her husband. It's kind of like a second time around thing. They've both been married before. And so this is a second marriage for each one of them, and for both of them, rather. And she just kind of wanted to put the celebrity aside for a moment. She talks about not actually wanting to go after a celebrity as a mate. She wound up marrying her husband, Curtis Conway, who is a retired NFL player, and didn't even want to deal with an athlete because she just thinks that the business is a little sleazy, and just wanted to bring it home and focus on family, because that's really very important to her. So they're both very, very excited to be expecting first child for her, and I think this might be his fourth.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And this month we unfortunately have some sad sad news, at least for now. We're going to say goodbye to Maven Anitha Malik. She's been part of our group since the beginning, but she's made the difficult decision to halt production of East West, which is a bi-monthly geared toward the Asian American lifestyle. I think many people consider it to be, you know, the Essence magazine for Asian American women. Anitha, if you could just share to the degree you feel comfortable, what do you think is the difficulty there? Do you think that the market for a magazine for this particular audience just wasn't there? Or do you think that, what?
It's twofold. I mean, I think overall the magazine industry is seeing that the print model is challenging right now with the web and what's happening there. And then on the other side of that, it really is our market. It's a market-specific problem. Asian Americans are a broad group, and advertisers, corporate America, has not figured out yet how to target them. And that's a problem because there's so many stories, there's so much information that needs to get out, and you need that platform.
And I think it's been a very interesting experience finding out how Asian American women are living their lives in America, the kind of the richness of their experience, the fields that you find Asian American women in that perhaps might be a surprise to some people. One of my favorites, I think, was the story you did about the woman, a sommelier, in Chicago, who's not just that she's Asian, but she's one of the youngest people ever to achieve this particular certification.
A master sommelier,
Master sommelier. So, well, kudos to you for the effort. But you are going to try to reinvent as a web-based publication, correct?
We are. We are. We are looking into that right now. We decided to take a step back. You know, I think with a lot of magazines are also struggling with the web. What do you do there necessarily? At the end of the day, the content is the most important thing, and getting those issues out about healthcare and different things that really affect our community specifically. So the best way to get the content out, to me, is a priority. And so we're taking a look at that. And I will say, I won't write off the print product. We're also looking at and maybe a way to do that. I think that both going forward for the industry, both print and web, are both viable mediums. There are readers for each. You just have to find a way to make the two work together.
Dawn, you have a goodbye in your magazine this month as well. You're saying goodbye to Susan Taylor, such a towering figure for this magazine. She was a beauty editor, editor-in-chief. What's she going to do?
Oh, Susan Taylor is an icon, and in essence, is 38 years. She was a part of the magazine for 37 of them, so who gets to say that? But Susan Taylor is busy, has never stopped working, and probably never will. She's very involved in an initiative that she started, National Cares Mentoring Movement, and that's a nationwide crusade which seeks to enlist 1 million volunteers, adults, into a massive mentoring initiative. So she is quite busy. She's an ambassador to different countries, just, you know, spreading the word of mentorship. And, you know, you haven't seen the last of Susan Taylor.
Well, we wish her all the best. If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News, and I'm speaking with our magazine mavens, Dawn Baskerville of Essence Magazine, Anitha Malik of East West, and Suzanne Colon of about their latest publications. Well, speaking of the web, Dawn, I mean, Essence has just made a big announcement that they're actually going to go daily on the web with the help of your parent company, Time Warner. Now, that's a very interesting move, but I've also noticed that Essence.com has gotten a lot more robust in recent months. I'm just curious why the move to daily.
Well, because our credo at Essence is that we put black women first, and we've also learned that we have to go where black women go. And increasingly, they are going into digital arenas to get their news and information. And, you know, every magazine is trying to figure out how they can expand their brand to extend to digital entities. And so it's a natural, I think, segue. It just seemed like a natural fit to be able to open up the magazine brand, not only to the pages of the magazine, but also to other arenas such as video, television.
You have some web-only content, for example, which you refer to in the magazine, but which really kind of plays out on the web. Is there anything that you've noticed works better on the web than it does in the magazine? Or, I don't know, just...
I think relationships and commentary. Black women have no problem telling us what they think. And so if you give them a platform to do that, they are more than happy to do that. So to get them, you know, involved with like things like our Will You Marry Me initiative that we did, and 30 Dates in 30 Days, where they actually could have an interactive experience, it works really, really well because you have to keep them engaged. Not only, you know, they look forward to the magazine every month, but they also want to be able to get up and see what is Essence talking about. And we want to make sure that they actually have some fodder to discuss when they're at that water cooler.
And Suzanne, in contrast, though, O is remarkable because it is one of the most successful magazine launches in history. But the other thing that's always intrigued me about O is it breaks a lot of the rules that people thought they had about magazines. For example, you don't have to wade through, you know, forgive me, a 10, a million, 50, 11 ads before you get to the content.
That was Oprah's declaration. Where is the table of contents? I want it up front on page two.
And it's this, and speaking of Oprah, same cover model every month, which is different.
I tell you something, it makes everything so easy for us. Not for her, unfortunately. Because she is a very busy woman, but for us, you know, there's no jockeying which celebrity are we going to put on the cover. Oh, that's right. We have our own.
But it also is, I don't know how to express, but it's very diverse. And you don't shy away from the challenges that people of particular backgrounds confront. Like, you'll say, look, you know what, women of a certain ethnic background often have certain body issues that you have to address in clothes. So you're really upfront about it. But I'm just wondering if that diversity makes it harder to put the magazine together every month or easier.
I think it makes it easier because I've worked at magazines that had a specific target audience, and I've never worked at a magazine, actually, that had as broad an audience as this. It seems like most general interest magazines are still not as broad as this one because Oprah is every woman. People identify with her incredibly. And so it actually makes the magazine easier for us to put out because we can address a wide range.
But, it, you know, it's also interesting, but each magazine kind of does its own thing. Like, Dawn, one of the features in Essence this month that I think really struck me is you talk about money, but you talk about the number one money mistake that all black women make, and you are very blunt. And one of those mistakes is being so generous with family and friends that sometimes women are hurting themselves financially. And I think it's one of those painful truths that a lot of people have to confront. Wondering what kind of reaction you've gotten to the piece. Has anybody said, look, you're airing our dirty laundry. We don't need, you know, creditors to know this about us. We don't need, you know, people to have this out there in the public eye, or just, you know what I mean? What are people saying?
No, the reaction is thank you, because it kind of validates. I mean, we all do this, and you're thinking you're helping, you want to be nurturing and caring, and it's very, very difficult to say no. But we find that we sometimes do it to the point of detriment to ourselves. You know, it starts this cycle of dependency where you give till it hurts you, and you don't have enough to give your children, and they learn bad habits, and it just goes on and on and on. So what we tried to do is give people strategies on how to actually say no in a nice way and to actually maybe be helpful in other ways other than actually digging into your purse.
Well, it's tough love for sure.
Yeah.
It's tough love for sure. And I do wonder if that's the kind of conversation you could have in another kind of magazine. I don't know.
I know it's something that's specific to black women, but I think women in general kind of fall prey to that as well. And we've got to learn that you have to build boundaries around what you give. It doesn't mean that you don't. It just means that you have to also remember that you have to give to yourself first.
Well, we have to build some boundaries around time, unfortunately. But so it's always that time where I hate to say goodbye because we could certainly talk. But I always have to ask, what was your favorite article in this month's magazine? And Anita, I'm going to start with you because unfortunately this is our last time visiting with you for now.
Oh, favorite article. Of all time, maybe?
Sure. That sounds fine. That's fair.
My mind, the way it works, I can't remember. But I think probably the fun one that we did recently was how comic books are now adding more diverse characters and what that means for people. And I think that was a real fun one. So,
Dawn, what about you? What was your favorite article in this month's magazine?
I think I loved our Bold and Beautiful package. Anytime we can celebrate great women and the things that they're doing other than being celebrities and just being everyday people who are behind great causes, it's a great opportunity. So I would say that one, where we talk to people like Malak Rock and Leah Daltrey and Cookie Johnson and the philanthropic endeavors that they're doing in addition to being linked to famous people.
That was interesting, and it was interesting to hear the kinds of things they're interested in and why.
Oh, definitely.
That was interesting. Suzanne, what about you?
I'm having a really hard time deciding. I know that it's got to be something. I think, you know, the entire spirituality package that we have this month is just, there's really, you know, not to sound corny about it, but there's something for everybody in here. There's something for doubters, you know, called the Doubter's Dilemma. There's Evan Handler's I Don't Know, where people are always asking him for, you know, his take on spirituality because he survived cancer and, you know, he's got this young daughter when he was never going to be able to do this. And people think he's some kind of guru now and he just doesn't have it figured out. And Looking for Stillness by Beverly D'Onofrio, where she felt that she was just out of touch with God, so she went on a series of retreats to try to rekindle that connection. I mean, there's just so many. I think, you know, for a person with any interest in spirituality, there's going to be something here that really speaks to them.
Can I tell you mine?
Yes, please.
The piece about the Freedom Riders.
Oh, yes.
Your writer went back and found some of the people who went on the Freedom Rides, found their mug shots.
Yes.
And published the contemporary photos alongside them. I thought that was incredibly inspiring.
Isn't that such a beautiful story? And got their stories from, you know, what they're like today and what it was like then. And these people were really, they were taking action for a good cause and laying themselves on the line, going to jail. And he got their stories, and that's an incredible piece, yes.
And the pictures are lovely, and also, Dawn, I have to say the money piece, in essence, I thought was that. I'm not telling business, I'm just
going
to say
it. Okay, read it, Michelle. Read it.
That's all I'm going to say. And our magazine mavens, Dawn Baskerville of Essence Magazine, Suzanne Colon of the Oprah Magazine, they joined us in our New York studio, and Anita Malik of East West Magazine. She was at member station KJZZ in Tempe, Arizona. Ladies, thank you, and Anita, we wish you the best.
Good luck, Anita.
Thank you, Anita.
Thank you. Thanks.
And finally, a word today from our web producer, Douglas Hopper.
Hey, Michelle. I just wanted to remind listeners that next week, Tell Me More is turning one, and we're looking for comments about what you've heard over the past year. If there's a conversation that sparked your interest, or that you wanted to comment on, or maybe you have a question about how the program works, how we put it on the air every day, we want to know. We'll be talking about it next week. To tell us what's on your mind, go to npr.org/tellmemore. You can also call our comment line at 202-842-3522. That number again is 202-842-3522.
Thank you, Douglas. And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.